This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Mary Beth Gianni bringing you Storytime Magazine, the April 2024 edition. Starting with our first story is a famous fable called The Pea Blossom. Five little peas once lived together in a pod. They were green, and the pod was green too. If we are green and the pod is green, said one pea, then everything else in the world must be green as well. The others agreed because they didn't know any better. At night, the green pod grew dark, and when the sun shone on it, it became lighter. As time passed, the peas and the pod grew bigger too. Will we sit here forever? Asked one. I wonder what the world is like outside this pod. What will happen to us when we leave it? The other peas muttered to each other, for they didn't know what awaited them in the world beyond. As the weeks passed, the pod became yellow, and so did the peas. I suppose the whole world is now yellow, said one pea, and they all agreed. Then there was a mighty jolt, as if someone had plucked the pod from the plant on which it grew. I suppose it will open, and we will see the world, said a medium-sized pea. The smallest pea spoke. I wonder which of us will travel the furthest. What will happen, said the largest pea. It thought this sounded very wise indeed. There was a crack as the pod broke open, and light flooded in. The littlest pea was pinched between a thumb and finger before being popped into a pea shooter. Before it knew what was happening, the vegetable found itself soaring through the air. It caught a glimpse of people and streets and carriages. Then it stopped, for it had been shot up onto a window sill near the top of a tall building. Moss and soil had gathered there, and the tiny pea sank into them like a person into a soft mattress. That window belonged to a tiny apartment, and in it lived a kind woman and her young daughter. The lady spent long hours cleaning other people's houses and only returned home in the evening. She was a loving mother and took good care of her daughter. They spent as much time together as they could. The girl had been ill for a long time and wasn't able to play outside. One day she asked her mother, "Why is that green thing growing on the windowsill?" The sun was shining, and the woman could see the leaves of a little plant through the glass. "Oh, it looks like a tiny pea plant," she said in astonishment. "How did it end up there?" Her daughter climbed out of bed and went over to look. She stared in wonder at the little plant that had grown from a humble pea. The woman tied a piece of string to the window frame. "It will climb up the string to get closer to the sun," she said. Every day, when her mother left for work, the girl went to the window to see how the pea plant was growing. As she watched in amazement, it grew taller and new leaves sprouted to catch the sun. "What a lovely, healthy thing," she smiled. "When I sit in the sun and watch it grow, I feel healthier too." The girl did seem stronger and happier than before. One evening, when the lady came home, her daughter called out to her. "You must see this," she gasped. "It's the most wonderful thing." A little flower had blossomed on the pea plant. It was a beautiful blushing pink. The mother noticed that her daughter's cheeks were now pink too. "Nature has planted that pea and made it grow and flourish," thought the mother. "Thank you, little plant, for bringing such joy to our home." The little pea was happy to have brought happiness into their lives. It finally understood what its destiny was. You need to know about amazing seeds. Here are some fabulous facts about the tiny things that plants grow from. They are baby plants. Inside each and every seed, is a part called the embryo. If the conditions are right, the embryo will begin to grow into a new plant. Most seeds need air, water, and the right temperature for this to happen. Seeds come in different sizes. Some are tiny, like poppy seeds. The largest seed of all is the rare double coconut, which can weigh up to 25 kilograms and is bigger than your head. Like other coconuts, it can float and be carried to new places by ocean currents. There is a special bank for seeds. The Svalbard Global Seed Vault in Norway stores seeds from more than a million different plant varieties. They are kept frozen. If a plant species is wiped out by a disaster, seeds from the vault can be thawed out and grown. Some seeds get pooped. Many fruits contain seeds which are surrounded by a tasty outer layer called a pericarp. When animals eat the fruit, the seeds go through their bodies and are pooped out later. This means that the seeds will have some poo fertilizer to grow in. There are many types of seeds. Nuts, fruits, berries, legumes, including pea pods, and grains all contain seeds. And coffee beans and cocoa beans are seeds. Mealtimes would be boring without them. And our last seed fact is that seeds make up a lot of our diet. We humans rely on grains like wheat, corn, and rice for much of our nutrition. Grains can be ground up to make flour, which is then used to make bread, cakes, pasta, and other foods. And now we have another story. This is one of the Around the World tales called The Tiny Samurai. It was a fine spring morning in Japan. A gray-haired man and woman sat in their garden, admiring the blossoms on the cherry trees. "I am happy with our life," the man said thoughtfully, "but I do wish we had a child to care for." "So do I," sighed his wife. That afternoon, the woman went to a shrine on a nearby mountain and prayed to the spirits of that place. "Please give us a child, no matter how small," she begged. 9 months later, she gave birth to a baby boy. The man and the woman were very happy, but there was something unusual about their child. "He is tiny," gasped the man. "Never mind," smiled the woman. "He is perfect just as he is, and I love him dearly." They made him a bed in a sewing box and fed him milk from an eyedropper. As the years passed, the boy learned to walk and talk, but he never grew taller than one sun, which is about an inch. His parents called him Isanbashi, which meant one sun boy. His father taught him how to speak politely, how to write with a little brush, and how to defend himself. "My sword is too big for you," the man told him, "so use this needle instead." He showed his son how to strike and block with it until the lad was very skilled indeed. When he was 18 years old, Isanbashi bowed to his parents and said, "It's time for me to go out into the world and seek my fortune." The boy put his needle sword in his sash and carried a rice bowl to the bank of the river. He put it in the water and stepped aboard. It made a perfect boat for him. Isanbashi waved goodbye to his parents as he paddled away, using a chopstick as an oar. He was carried along by the current, and waves threatened to flood his little vessel. But Isanbashi expertly piloted his craft, balancing on the rim of the rice bowl. Just then, a large scaly head with big bulging eyes came out of the water beside him. "Oh, a tasty little treat in a rice bowl," said a carp. "I'm going to have you for my lunch." Isanbashi pulled out his needle and flourished it. "I am no one's lunch," he said as he stared the fish in the eye. The carp was frightened and disappeared back into the river. After a long and dizzying voyage, the rice bowl washed up beside a beautiful garden. "What a lovely place," thought Isanboshi. He stepped ashore and wandered past trees and flowers until he came to a grand house with an armored guard at the door. "What do you want, tiny one?" the guard asked him. Isanboshi bowed politely. "I wish to see the master of this house," he said in his high voice. "The emperor's chief minister is a very busy man," replied the guard. "But I'm sure he will want to meet a boy who stands only one sun high." He took Isanboshi to the office of the minister, who wore a tall and expensive hat made of black silk. "Welcome to my house," the man said. "What can I do for you?" Isanboshi bowed low and replied, "I would like to serve a great lord like you. I can write with a brush and defend myself with my needle." The chief minister nodded. "And you are polite as well. I need a companion for my daughter, and you will be perfect for the job." Isanboshi was introduced to the minister's daughter. She was his age, and she giggled when he bowed to her. They soon became good friends. They played games in the palace gardens and had great fun together. When summer came, the minister's daughter had to visit her aunt in a distant province. She invited Isanboshi to come along with her. Early one morning, the pair boarded a great ship and set sail. When they were far out at sea, a fierce storm struck the vessel. The two friends tried to hold on, but they were washed overboard. The waves carried them to an unknown island in the Pacific Ocean. The sand on the beach was black, and in the distance, they could see a castle with high walls. A towering red-skinned figure strode out of it. His footsteps were so heavy that the whole island shook. The creature had horns on his head and carried a huge golden hammer. Isanboshi knew he was a wicked ogre called an oni. "What have we here?" laughed the red creature when he saw the princess lying on the sand. "I will take you prisoner, young lady." "No, you won't," shouted Isanboshi as he drew his needle. He ran at the oni, yelling a battle cry. The oni couldn't see him at first. "Who said that?" he asked. The monster chuckled when he spotted the tiny boy charging at him with a needle. He tried to grab the lad, but Isanboshi poked him. "Ow!" roared the oni. "You'll regret that, you pipsqueak." With that, the monster reached out his hand and managed to snatch up Isanboshi. He popped the little boy into his mouth and swallowed him whole. "That's the end of you," gloated the oni. "Teensy creatures do not bother me in the slightest." "That's what you think," yelled Isanboshi from inside the ogre's belly. The tiny boy began jabbing at the monster's insides with his needle, using every move his father had taught him. The oni howled in pain. He grabbed his stomach and begged the boy to stop. "I give up," the creature yelled. He coughed Isanboshi out and fled back to his castle. The minister's daughter knelt beside Isanboshi and kissed him on the head. "Thank you for saving me," she smiled, "and look what the frightful ogre left behind." She held up the oni's hammer. It glowed so brightly that Isanboshi knew it must be enchanted. "What do you wish for?" the girl asked with a grin. He thought for a moment. Though it was good to be only one sun tall, he knew what he wanted. "I wish to be normal height," he decided. The minister's daughter gave Isanboshi a tap on the head with the golden hammer, and the boy found himself growing with tremendous speed. In the blink of an eye, he was 6 feet tall. "That was amazing," the girl giggled. "Now let's get off this island." They found a little rowing boat on the shore and began paddling back to Japan. Isanboshi couldn't wait to return home and show his beloved parents how much he had grown while he was away. Imagine it. What would it be like if you were only one son high? Where would you sleep? What would you wear? And what challenges would you face in your day-to-day life? What would be some fun things about being tiny? That might be a good start to your own story. Our next story is a favorite fairy tale. It's called The Princess of the Springs. Once upon a time, the moon giant fell in love with the giantess of the great river. The moon giant built her the most beautiful palace the world has ever seen. It was made of mother of pearl that shimmered like rainbows and decorated with gold and silver and precious stones. The couple were happy in their new home, and they soon had a daughter. She was as swift and strong as the great river and as beautiful as the moonlight. Her parents named her the Princess of the Springs, and she ruled over all the lakes and rivers of the world. When she grew up, many giants wanted to marry her, but the Princess of the Springs was not interested. "No, I am happy living in this palace with my mother," she would say. One day, a new suitor came to visit. The giant of the sun was tall and strong, and his hair glowed like a flame. The Princess of the Springs was enchanted by his fiery personality, and he fell in love with her watery ways. The girl agreed to marry the giant of the sun on one condition. "I will live with you for 9 months of the year," she told him firmly, "but for 3 months I will go and stay with my beloved mother." Her will was as strong as a mighty flowing river, so the giant of the sun agreed. They were married in a great ceremony that went on for 7 days and 7 nights. The music at the party was so loud that it echoed across the land. They soon had a baby boy, who the Princess of the Springs loved more than life itself. When it was time for her to go and visit her mother, she wanted to take the child with her. "Oh no, you can't," thundered the giant of the sun. "Our son must stay here with me, so I know you will come back." The Princess of the Springs begged and pleaded, to no avail. In the end, she traveled to her mother's palace alone, after promising to return in 3 months. When she arrived, she found her old home empty. What had happened to her beloved mother? The princess wandered through the empty rooms decorated with gold and silver and gems. "Dearest mother," she cried, "where are you hiding?" There was no answer. So the Princess of the Springs went out looking for her. "Oh, fishes of the river, have you seen my dear mother?" she cried, but the fishes did not reply. "Oh, sands of the sea, have you seen my own dear mother?" The princess got no answer. "Oh, shells of the shore, have you seen my own dear mother?" The only thing she heard was the echo of her own voice. The Princess of the Springs looked for her mother for many months. At long last, she came to the house of her uncle, the giant of the great wind. She knocked on the door, and her uncle's bearded face peeked out. "What can I do for you?" he asked. She curtsied and said, "I have come looking for my mother, the giantess of the great river. Have you seen her?" "Yes, I have," rumbled the giant of the great wind. "She has been taken hostage by the mountain giant. But do not fear, for I will help you free her." He summoned a whirlwind that carried the two of them to the castle of the mountain giant. When the giant of the great wind buffeted its walls with storms, the Princess of the Springs quietly tunneled into the dungeon where her mother was being held. The young lady wrapped her arms around her mother, and a tornado created by the giant of the great wind carried them all the way back to their mother of pearl palace. "I am so happy to see you, my dear," the giantess told her daughter. "But where is my grandson? I've been waiting to meet him." The Princess of the Springs gasped. "Oh no," she cried, "I have been gone for far too long. My husband and child must be wondering where I am." she ran as fast as she could to her husband's golden palace. When the giant of the sun saw her, he was so furious that flames burst from his head. He clutched their son, who was crying. "You went away for many months," the giant yelled angrily. "There is no place for you here." The flames on his head grew so hot that the palace began to catch fire. Their son wriggled out of his father's grip and ran to his mother, the Princess of the Springs. "Where have you been, Mama?" he cried. "You were away for so long. I thought you were never coming back." The Princess of the Springs hugged her son tightly and told him how sorry she was. She told him what had happened to his grandmother and how she had rescued her. The Princess of the Springs felt so upset that she began to cry. Her tears gushed from her eyes like a river. They flowed in torrents from the palace of the Giant of the Sun and extinguished the flames. The salty teardrops then flooded across the earth. The seas rose and rivers burst their banks. At long last, her tears stopped and the sun shone on the land. The Princess of the Springs took her child by the hand and led him to the castle of the Giantess of the Great River, who was waiting for them. The son of the Princess of the Springs grew up to be gentle and kind, and he became known as the Giant of the Rain. He sends the showers that water the earth like his mother's tears and warm it with the heat of the sun. His gentle rain is a blessing to the earth, for it makes beautiful things blossom and grow. And our last story is a short story, Big Dreams, called The Sheep Factor. Bo Peep herded her little flock through the streets of the city, but it wasn't easy. She was used to minding her sheep in the grassy fields of the countryside, but here there were crowds and cars and traffic lights. Her lambs weren't paying attention either because they were very excited. "I can't believe we're going to see Flossie you this evening," bleated Lambert as he looped a feather boa around his neck. "Will she play Will You Dance With Me?" asked Mint. She had dyed her fleece pink and teased it into a crest on her head. Bo Peep sighed as she herded her three lambs through the jostling crowds. Ahead of them was a brightly lit building with glowing letters on the front. "Flossie You, Live in Concert." Once they got inside the big glass doors, the group went down a long corridor. It was dark and noisy and filled with hundreds of humans and sheep that were all chattering excitedly. The crowd carried them along like a flood, and Bo Peep and the lambs got separated in the confusion. "Mint? Lambert? Herb? Where did you go?" the girl squeaked in panic. Bo Peep thought she heard them in the distance. "Where are we?" asked Lambert. "Should we go through this side door?" bleated Mint. Bo Peep tried to stop, but the crowd pushed her out into the main theater. It was packed, and she couldn't see her little animals anywhere. She had lost her sheep. "Oh, no," wailed Bo Peep. "Not again." Just then there was a humming noise, and the crowd cheered. Spotlights flickered, and a figure wearing a white dress and a cool hat strode onto the stage. As pulsing electronic music began to play, Flossie You stepped up to the microphone. "Will you dance with me?" she sang. The crowd went wild, and Bo Peep couldn't help joining in. When Flossie's backing dancers came on stage, the girl noticed that three stood out. They were smaller than the others and looked a bit nervous. She recognized her mischievous little lambs up there, one with pink wool, one in a feather boa, and one in big glasses. Mint, Lambert, and Herb had been watching videos of Flossie You for weeks, so they knew all the moves and danced perfectly. When the song ended, the crowd cheered. "I wonder if this was their plan all along," Bo Peep giggled. "This is a show they will never forget." And I think we do have a couple minutes left for another quick story called The Courage to Care. In 1820, a little girl was born while her parents were on holiday in Italy. "What shall we call her?" William asked his wife as he held their child. Fanny looked out of the window and then at the baby. "We're in the city of Florence. It's a pretty place, and I think Florence is a lovely name." Florence's big sister, Parthenope, was also named after the place where she was born. A little while later, the family returned to England. William was lucky enough to have been given lots of money by his great uncle, so they could afford two big homes. Embley was in the south of England, and that was where they spent the winter. But little Florence's favorite home was Lea Hurst. This towering brick manor was in an area called the Peak District on the wild and beautiful moors. Little Flo had dolls to play with and lots of pets. There was Peggy the pony, Peppercorn, Teaser, and Captain the hounds, and even a color-changing chameleon. She loved them all. Florence and Parthenope's dad took care of their schooling. "I'm going to teach you everything I learned at university," he told them enthusiastically. "I will give you the best education I can." Each day at breakfast, the girls had to tell their dad what they had learned the previous day to show they understood it all. Florence soaked up knowledge like a sponge and kept asking her father clever questions. "She wants to know the why of everything," her sister would complain. Fanny was very concerned about the health of her family and knew lots of remedies for different illnesses. She got many of them from a big book called Practical Suggestions Towards Alleviating the Sufferings of the Sick. Florence read it too and found it fascinating. It says that people recover better if there is fresh air and sunlight, and plenty of peace and quiet. She wrote notebooks full of this sort of thing. One day, Fanny took Florence up to a high balcony at Lea Hurst. From there, they could look across the countryside. The area used to be full of farms, but now it was dotted with lead mines, and she could see smoke from the smelters where metal was melted down. "In the little villages around here live people who aren't as lucky as us," Fanny said seriously. "Many of them work at dangerous jobs and find it hard to even afford food. It's our duty to help them however we can." She and her mother and sister took packages of food and blankets to those who needed them most. If somebody was ill, they would arrange for a doctor to see them. Doing this work gave Florence a sense of purpose. She knew that there was suffering in the world, but she could help to make things better. And I think we'll have to wrap it up there. Thanks again for joining me. This has been Storytime Magazine. Thanks for listening and have a great day.